Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to episode 15 of Conversation. Now, this episode is actually my longest ever recorded episode. And the reason for that is the lady I'm speaking to today is my best fucking friend in the whole fucking world. You might have met her before, but you probably haven't, because she is notoriously running this shit from behind the scenes. She likes it back there, and she's going to tell you exactly why. She is my business partner. She is the other side of my brain. She is Crimson Russ Martin. This babe is my life. She keeps me fucking afloat, and I keep her afloat. We like drinking wine together and taking over the world. Those are just a few of our hobbies. So I don't really need to say much else in this intro, because the episode is so inclusive of everything. We talk about fucking everything, and listening to it back to put all the little cards up on this episode on Acast has filled me with girl fucking power. I tell ya, if you're feeling even a little bit down, you will be grinning through this episode. And as I just said, there are lots of little cards. So if you're listening on Acast, make sure you click through, figure out what we're chatting about, get some more info. Knowledge is power. Of course. Now, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you wouldn't mind leaving me a lovely little 5-star rating and a little review, all that does is help other people discover Conversation. So it's going to help me out, and hopefully going to help out some other chickas and just generally everyone that wants to listen. So help get the word, help get it out, help spread it around, help make the world a happier, lovelier place. So much love for my girls after this episode. We speak about a couple of them who have been on my podcast before, some of them who are part of the Disgrace team, just some of them who generally make our lives amazing. So make sure you tell your girl gang that you love them. It's so important. Such an important thing to have. Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's enough of me waffling here. Of course, if you want to find me online, you can find me at Cats and Crows. KatasAndCrows. You can find my new YouTube account. I think YouTube.com/C/RebeccaCrowUK, I think. Something like that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's get the show on the road. Beautiful humans, please welcome to episode 15 of Conversation, my best friend, Crimson Russ Martin.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world, not represented in the media, not treated equally online, and still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Conversation.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to Conversation. Now, my episode today is one that I've been planning for a really, really, really fucking long time. it's something that's really, really dear to my heart, of course, because this lady is my business partner. She's my best friend. She's literally the other side of my brain. When I'm away from her, I just kind of crumble into a sloppy mess on the floor. Also when I'm with her, because we're usually drunk. Please welcome my business partner, Crimson Russ Martin.
Hi, Becca. I'm on your podcast.
You are on my podcast.
We've done a thing.
We did a thing, finally. I've been telling Crimson to get on my podcast for a really, really fucking long time. And she's very insistent that she's a background person.
Yeah, that's what I'm scared about, because I am such a background person that you guys all put yourself out there all the time, which I think is amazing. But for me to do it as a background person is terrifying. I'm like, who's going to want to listen to what I've got to say?
Crimson, everyone wants to listen to you.
But I feel all right. You've given me a very large glass of wine.
I have.
So I'm going to be fine.
I've collided with wine and Chinese food and something else I gave her. I fed her chicken balls the other day, so she owes me.
Yeah.
That's why. You may hear a little cameo in the background. We have Miss P-Dubs, who was on my previous episode, two episodes ago.
Yo!
So if you hear a sniggering in the background...
I'm just going to be eating toast.
She's eating toast, crunching away in the background.
So rock and roll.
The most rock and roll. We honestly are the most rock and roll household,
crazy,
aren't we?
Crazy.
Talking of rock and roll, Crimson, let's go into something. Let's start right the way back at the beginning. How we met.
Well, we did it on your podcast before, for your podcast party, didn't we?
We did.
And I came down and I was like, I've got a question for you. we met in a very strange way. I think that people think that we've known each other for like ever.
It feels like it, to be honest with you.
It does, really feels like it. But we met in like a work way.
Yep.
It was through
our club night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was through necessity. Yeah, it was definitely a working relationship at the start that turned into this crazy relationship that we were not expecting.
Hello.
And we were gonna do, so Suicide Girls, the Black Heart Burlesque, they came over and they wanted to do a club night in the UK.
It's a few years ago now, wasn't it? It's like 2015.
Yeah, I think it's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time, the manager of the venue was a manager that I worked with at festivals. I'd known him for a really long time. Oh, he's the best.
G-Dog.
And he said, hey, there's this group of like Suicide Girls. Do you know them? And I was like, I know them. I used to read Front Magazine. I know who these people are. And he was like, do you want to run the club night from the venue side? And I was like, yeah, cool. So we did the first one and I met you there.
I was only performing the first one. I wasn't running at all. I was just like, yeah, I'll come down and show my tits on stage.
Yeah, because we got on really well, I remember like writing my number on like a scrappy piece of paper. I was like, take it. And I was like, oh, she'll never ring me. I don't know what's happened. And then after that, I was like, I really need, because they were doing it from the US, and I was like, I really need a UK representative from Suicide Girls who is here in London with me. And then at the time, I think I was working like three jobs. I was working in like a bar and a call center. I'd only
moved to
London.
That's just London though, isn't it?
You know, when you move to London, you have like a million jobs.
You're like, I need money.
That stage, I was like, okay, I have three jobs and I've not slept for like 4 months. And I was like in a call center and I went out on my break and I got a phone call from you and you're like, hi, it's Rebecca. And I was like, oh, hello.
Oh,
how the fuck did you get my number? And I remember giving it to you on a piece of paper. And you were like, I think we should go for a business meet and I'm going to be your UK representative. I was like, cool, I know who this girl is. Let's go meet up. So Tuesday afternoon, on a nice, nice, calm Tuesday.
It was, wasn't it? It was like a midweek, very normal. We met like midday.
Midday.
Like lunchtime.
Yeah, I thought that was a sensible idea, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It was just not a great idea. Because then we ended up, I think we
just went for a beer to start with, didn't we? We were like, let's have a drink, like a lunchtime drink.
Yeah, we went to the Black Heart, our friend Julia's bar,
Black Heart.
Went there in Camden. And like, by the time, I think within about 20 minutes, I was like, do you drink tequila? And you were like,
yes, I do.
Hell yes, I drink tequila. And we ended up spending about 10 hours just on like a drinking mission.
We did.
And I was like,
I think we went to every bar in Camden.
It was horrendous. Like, I don't even remember what happened that day. I have no recollection apart from that first little bit. And I'm like, I have no idea where we ended up.
I have no fucking idea.
I remember the next day I was like, oh my God, I'm so unprofessional. She's going to think that I'm just a massive rackhead and just wants to get drunk all the time. And then you were like, yeah, I thought the same.
It was me.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay. That's
thank God I found my kindred spirit.
And then we were like, okay, maybe we should try and like, do a night, like let's try and do it. And it's really hard. A lot of the club nights that we knew, it can be very male dominated. And there's nothing wrong with that, some of them are brilliant.
It's just the way it's always been. It's the same with a lot of industries, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. And then we were like, well, let's try and do it and bring as many women as we can in to help us, because you're a woman, I'm a woman, let's celebrate women. And we just brought all these crazy women in, and then we just ended up getting them from like everywhere.
Everywhere, left, right,
insane.
Center.
And it was like, okay, we have all these crazy women, and now we're doing this night. And we were still just drinking buddies at this point.
In it. Like, it wasn't even like a job for a long time, was
no,
it?
No, it was just like, okay, we're sort of doing this thing and let's see how it goes. And then I was working for another club night at the time as well, one of my other many jobs. And I remember getting a phone call from you on like a Saturday night at like 1 o'clock. So this is like peak busy time.
Yeah.
It was so busy. And I get a phone call and I was like, oh God, what's happened? And you're like, Crimson, I need somewhere to go right now. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you had some shit go down. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I just ended a relationship.
Yeah.
And quite rockily.
Okay, well, you can come here. So you came to the club night and I just sat you at the back. And I remember thinking, I haven't got any alcohol. And like, there was a bottle of Lambrini and I gave it to you for sure. And I was like, give me 3 hours to finish work and then come back to mine. Then you just moved into my house for a bit and then you just didn't leave for like 2 years.
I didn't leave. You were like, do you want to stay in my spare room? I sort yourself out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I do. I definitely can't afford the rent though.
Yeah, oh, it was horrendous.
It was expensive.
That was horrendous. I don't even know how we managed to live there for so long apart from just eating beans.
For like 2 years.
It
we did a
awful.
Good thing.
It was awful.
It was good though. It was like the founding of our friendship. I don't think if we'd lived together, we would have been the same or even been able to execute our club night in the same way.
But it was crazy because we weren't even particularly friends then. We were just like drinking buddies that we were trying out this night. I'd only known you for like 2 months.
Yeah.
But I was like, this girl clearly just needs
help.
Needs a bit of a friendly face for a minute. And we had the spare room and I was like,
yeah,
move in.
Exactly.
And then you moved in and it was great.
That's what happened.
And, yeah.
It's funny you say that because when I first moved to London, I had like girlfriends back in my hometown Reading, where I was from. But I moved to London and I knew lots of people, I knew lots of girls, but I didn't really have any like strong girl gang friends.
I think it's really hard in London because it's just so overwhelming and there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And you can meet so many people, but everybody's got so much going on to then reconnect with those people and grow genuine friendships can take a really long time. They can feel really ungenuine as well. Like, it just feels like, oh, these people are only here because they want this or they want me to go and do that for them. And when you meet actual friends in London, I think it can be really, really tough. It can be bloody lonely. Like, it's absolutely terrifying when you first move there.
It can be, can't it?
I think everybody's been in that situation.
I think we've had a couple of our girls we brought into our team. We, like, they just moved to London and we, like, brought them in because we knew how important it was to have a girl gang in your life. And, like, girl gangs are fucking so important, right?
They are literally, like, I actually think if we didn't have Disgrace, I think both me and you would have just died at some point. Neither of our lives were going in a great direction.
No.
We worked very hard, but we were at the point of exhaustion. And then when we found all these like amazing girls that just like came into our lives, it was everyone gave each other energy, everyone gave each other support, and God, we didn't always get it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Right, but we had so much fun.
Yeah.
We had so much fun, and I think that supportiveness of the girl gang around us, I don't know if we would have been able to stay in London as long as we did, or to let, you know, Disgrace grow to what it became without the girl gangs, because I think as well, a lot of people think it's just me and you know,
yeah,
Disgrace,
they do.
Oh, it's Chris and Becca, and it's not, it's the whole team, it's the DJs, it's the flyers, it's the door girls, it's the go-go dancers, it's the performers, it's the photographers, everybody has such a vital role to play. And I never wanted it to just be me and you, because although I love you, let's be honest, we spend a lot of time together.
We do drive each other up the wall though, don't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the basis of a good friendship though.
I think so
right.
as well. And everyone's like, oh, like, you get on so well. And I'm like, she drives me fucking nuts, honestly. And I do the same for you. Like,
completely.
It's vice versa. But we have all these extra people that come in, and it's just like new energy every time.
It
and
is.
I think that that's such an important part of having a good girl gang around you, because
it's evolving.
Exactly. And everybody has different stories to tell. Everyone comes from different backgrounds. Everyone's different ages. Everyone's had different experiences.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, actually, let's all lift each other up and do it together.
Yeah.
And we could have done that on our own, but I don't think we would have been as successful as we are without everybody else's help, you know? I think that's what's really made Disgrace as positive and
they're our girls, isn't it? They literally are our girls.
They're our family.
And that's kind of where this podcast literally came from, wasn't it? Because I don't think, unless we'd have started Disgrace, I would have even thought to have started this podcast. Like, I knew cool girls. I was part of Suicide Girls for a long time. But without having you to bounce my ideas off, I wouldn't have been like...
God, do you know what? That is one of the most helpful things. I think as well, when you're young, you think... You talk yourself out of things. You think, I really want to do this, but oh God, I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm not really good at it. And when you have someone else going, do you know what? Just do it and I'll have your back. Even if it's just that one person, that can go, like, make you go, oh, do you know what? I am going to try it. I am going to put myself out there. But if you don't have those people to bounce off against, it's so hard to put yourself out there. And no matter what you do, whether you're a background person or a front person, not you.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really reflected across, like, all my episodes. You've listened to most of my episodes, haven't you? Yeah.
I've got to listen to the last one.
Can't
but I always try and listen to it when you're not in the house, because I think it's really weird to listen to your voice when you're in the house. I'm like, I can hear you speaking in the background, and then on the podcast, I'm like, no, I've got to wait until she's not
it's
here.
Like it's like the TV show, it's very weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
What's your favourite episode then?
I really loved, obviously, B Ducks' one, because thank I can you. See her right now.
Represent.
And she's holding her hand up and looked at me very evilly right there. You know, I love Lee's one. I think it was really important to speak about something like mental health and make it, you know, it's very hard to speak about that sort of thing without making it very negative, because it is such a negative
subject. Most people's experience of mental health, if they've experienced bad mental health, is because it is negative.
Yeah.
You know, people don't talk about it when it's going well, which is
and
sad.
I felt it was really positive. I felt, you know, even for me, I could relate to a lot of the stuff in there. I think most people can. Whether they've suffered mental health or not, it was a very relatable episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, I loved Flicks. I find it very hard to call her Flicks.
Everyone's got different names.
Everyone's got two names, but I call everyone by their real name, so I get a bit confused. I love that one, because I think for someone like Flick to have come from the background and experiences that she's come from, and to have made the decisions that she has with such, you know, she's not pretending to be anyone else, but she is.
Yeah.
And she hasn't cared where she's come from or who she might offend. She's gone, this is what I want to do. And I think that's so inspirational to her community and just to everyone in general as well, not even just her community. I think it's brilliant. I love Bambi Blue's one, because I absolutely adore Bambi.
She's
obviously
a queen.
I found that so funny, because I could just imagine you two sat there with wine like we are now.
Very similar to what we're doing now.
And Bambi's such an interesting character. She has the best stories. I love getting stuck with Bambi
at
like an after party or backstage somewhere. I'll be like, yep, let's talk. And obviously Lindsay's one, Lindsay Bell, being a mum.
That was a very early one, wasn't it? I love speaking to her, although I feel like perhaps my skills as a podcaster weren't as developed, so I'd love to have her back on.
Because
she's actually going through a really interesting journey right now. She's doing something.
God, she's just...
I want to bring her back on to talk about her new life choice. I'll leave it down to her to explain, tell about that. Yeah.
She's absolutely killing it. And I think, you know, Walter's one was amazing. I mean, I love them all. Obviously, the ones of the people that I know are the ones where I'm like, oh, that's my girl. I want to listen to that. So, yeah, I think it's really great that you've had, as well, such a wide range of people on the podcast, because it would have been very easy for you just to be like, I'm going to get models or performers, because that's what people think you do, even though that's not really what you do.
Mm-hmm. I do
a lot more than that. Yeah, you do a lot more than that. I think that's what people probably expected from the podcast, but I don't think it's turned into that at all.
No.
Same with Disgrace, what people thought it was going to be and what it's turned into, it's completely different.
That's very true. I don't think even we quite knew what it was going to turn into, do we? It's turned into something bigger. It's not even just a club night anymore.
No, I think that was the initial
thing,
because I worked in club nights anyway, and I worked in venues.
I think we've all worked in nightlife, haven't we? That's something that we really connected with.
Yeah, we've all had those experiences of cleaning up sick at
4 a.m. I had a glass once full of sick. Someone had perfectly puked in a glass and it was still warm.
Oh my God. But we've all had those experiences, but I think that's initially why it started, but now it's sort of turned into this thing with us going to different places and providing different, like, I want to say services, but that sounds really bad.
I guess it is services.
Yeah.
We just got dirty minds.
I'm like, oh, I can't really say that. But like, we provide so much different stuff now that it kind of has grown into something a little bit more, and obviously the social media's just got a bit out of control compared to other club nights. I just see bee ducks waving in the background. I'm like, what do you want?
There's a fly, I'm sorry.
She just wants to be involved in everything.
She just wants to be involved.
That's what she does all the time.
There's a fly, I'm sorry.
But no, I think yeah, it was always supposed to just be a club night. The thing is as well, you know, we all know the rock industry is a bloody hard industry. Like, it's so
a really
hard
industry right now, and it's not in its best shape right now. There's been a lot of scandals, yeah, and a lot of people have not found there.
And the new, sort of like the new 18, 19-year-olds that are coming through and coming into our world, they're not there like they were, say, within like the indie generation or, you know, even the new metal generation.
Completely.
So you're not getting those new people coming up, and we were really aware of this, and we were like, what can we do to kind of keep what we have going but expand? And I think if you don't want to expand, then you're
you've got to evolve,
nasty.
You know.
Sorry. You can't just do one thing now.
No.
I mean, look at you as an individual and look at us as a sort of events, shows,
a company,
a whole company.
Because we have our little company. We're actually a management company because we run a club night, but we also are starting to do other shit.
Yeah, we're doing
sick.
A lot of other stuff now, which is getting really exciting.
Yeah,
and we're
we can announce
really
now, can't we? We can say we're doing Download.
We can say we're doing Download, which I am so excited about. Obviously, we did last year. We were so chuffed to have got it, and we opened on the Wednesday night.
I loved it.
We kind of just slayed it.
I
don't want to sound big-headed, but we did a really good job.
Queen, you're not being big-headed if you can back it up.
Yeah,
what was it? You
exactly.
wrote something down earlier.
Yeah,
we were having a chat earlier.
Shout about what you're proud about.
That's Corinne's
it.
And Russ Meyer, 2018.
I'll put that as the link in my, in the little bio bit.
Please put it in your bio.
Put it in there.
I love that, because people always think, I think girls are brought up to not be, like, because when somebody's like, they try and like assert their authority, or they try and say something, they're bossy or they're boastful, but to a man they're just assertive.
Exactly. And I've had that so much in
my
industry.
I bet you get that because you're a tall lady. How tall are you?
I'm like 5'10".
So you're quite tall, so people immediately assume you're like a bossy person.
I've had so many times where I've gone up to people and I've spoke to them in a really normal manner, and they've been like, oh my god, she's so bossy, and I'm like, no, I'm just like telling you what's happening.
I know what's going on.
As a woman, when you have certain people that you're dealing with, they do respond to you like that. It is changing. I've noticed, especially in the last 2 years, it's changed.
Mm.
When we've worked with, you know, Amira, the venue that we work with now, the respect that they have for us and the respect that we have for them is amazing. And we've worked with people before that haven't got that, and they just think, oh, it's just some girls, and you know, they all get their tits out, and that's just like the background girl. And you think, that's not what we are. You're not getting it, and we have respect for you. So even if you don't understand what we're trying to do, just respect each other, and then you can grow it together, and
I don't understand.
I don't know if it's going to relate to the podcast, but you know what I mean.
No, it's interesting you say that, like, girls that get their tits out and then you're the behind the scenes person.
Yeah, that's what people think.
People do think that, and I think that's important to have, because obviously we've had totally different experiences in our lives, like coming up, like I've come up through the modelling industry as a feminist, you've come up through the behind the scenes as a feminist. We've grown into a very similar position, but through totally two different paths.
Yeah, the roads to where we are now, there are similarities, obviously. Yeah. You know, like we were saying with like the bar thing and stuff, we've all had those experiences. But I've come into what we have as disgrace, I think, completely different to what everyone else is. Everybody else has a background in whether it's modelling or performing or a high social media or DJing or whatever it is. They do put themselves out there, everybody does in that way, whereas I'm the person in the background that deals with all the problems. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm the one that's like, okay, something's gone wrong, where's Crimson? And I'm like, I'm here, let's sort it out. But it was very hard for me at the start, because I sort of, you know, I was learning to understand what you guys did.
Mm.
And although I thought I was really aware, I had no fucking idea. And now I know you all, I'm like, oh, okay, I get where you're coming from. I get like why you say the things you say and why you feel the things you feel. And it's just about that understanding of people that might not come from a similar background to you, you can still kind of relate to them, which I think a lot of people don't do when we come into something, you know, as an entity now, and we
completely
come into something different. They don't always understand it. It's like, just take a bit of time, talk to us.
Take to us and listen,
yeah.
I live in a beautiful bubble that I've put myself in, where everybody gets their tits out and everyone's proud of that fact, and that empowers all of us.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I'm a bit ignorant, even, I'll admit, to the fact that that doesn't empower everyone.
No, and we've had conversations before. In fact, we've had arguments before where you said we should do this because it's really empowering, and I say, I agree that it's empowering to get your tits out. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Empowerment is relative, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's been those times in the past where, even though we know it's empowering, we've had to say, okay,
business.
But in our business, is that going to damage us? And that's a really hard conversation to have when your business and your morals conflict a little bit. And I don't think anybody else, apart from like our industry, gets that.
Mm-hmm.
You think, for me, I'm like, get your tits out, do this. This is empowering to all women. Like, this is brilliant. But other people go, oh, yeah, they don't take it seriously. And I'm like, how do you find that balance? It's so hard, but we're finding it.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're a good couple of years in now. I think we've got a good balance, finally, of knowing when to show those things and empower it and when to just hold back and say, I'm going to use this when the time is right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think that was really important, especially because, obviously, we started off as a club night where we were only kind of like running it, we weren't in control of it, and now we're in control of it, and we have to be super aware of that.
Yeah,
and that transition, wasn't easy.
No, it was not easy at all. I remember we were just like, oh my god,
it was a lot of work, wasn't it?
Like, this is just a nightmare. We should just go and get 9 to 5s and just get some money. But instead, we're like, let's put everything that we have, every minute of every day, every penny that we have, into something that we have no idea how.
Running your own business is hard, right?
It's super hard, and quite honestly, again, shout about what you're not. What is it?
Shout about what you're proud about.
Shout about what you're proud about.
Go on, girl.
I feel like no one's really done what we're trying to do. So it's really hard because, you know, like, if you start in another business, there's other businesses to compare yourself to. You have those case studies. You kind of don't have a case study.
No.
So we're kind of just like, let's risk it. And it was a massive risk.
Hugely.
It's huge. I didn't know if it was going to pay off. But
no. It was hard, wasn't it? It was scary. Because, well, okay, so for everyone that doesn't know the story, we used to, we managed, we didn't run, we managed Ballroom Blitz. It was at another venue. It was the original Suicide Girls club night. And then we came to a fork in the road and we took the decision to take the entire thing upon ourselves, financially back it ourselves, bankroll it ourselves, manage it all, invest everything that we earned back into it. And that was a crazy story.
It was really hard. And I remember we sat in the kitchen in our old house, because we've lived together for a long time now. And we sat in there, and I remember we had a cup of tea, and we were like, are we going to do this? Are we actually going to fully do this? And we were like, okay, let's just go. And we kind of, it was a lot of thinking about, but we made the decision very quickly, because we were like, if we're going to do this, let's just go. And if it fails, it fails. But my God, I'd rather try and fail than think, I wish we'd done that.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I think that whole risk thing, I think, I wish more people did it, because I have so many people tell me ideas. I'm like, go, do it.
Do
like,
it.
It might fail. It might all go absolutely bust, and you might make an absolute tit of yourself, but at least you've tried.
There's some statistic like that, isn't it? Like, if everybody executed all the ideas they had, like, 1 in 10 would actually make them a fucking millionaire, but people just don't put themselves out there.
It's scary because they don't have that support, whereas we have the support of the whole
gang. We have a girl gang.
And I remember when we had to tell all the girls that we were changing, and I was terrified, and we saved it, didn't we? And we were like, we're not going to tell them. And we went to download last year, and we did our practice run on the stage in the doghouse, and we came back, and I got everyone together, and I was like, right, we've got some news. We're moving. And everyone was like,
we were
what?
Like, we said, this is the very last Boring Blitz. Yeah. And they were like,
we're going to change the name, or we're moving. It's going to be exactly the same. There's what we've done in terms of like who we are and what we've represented, but we are making a massive change. And no one had any clue. And we kept it to ourselves for about a month.
Yeah.
Because we were very like,
I was scared. And I do a lot of weird, scary stuff. I talk on stage, I do public speaking, and that was a scary shit.
It was scary.
In front of my own girls, our own girls.
And do you know what? Their response was we could not have asked for a better response. Everyone was like, I'm in. I'm in, 100%. And I just couldn't believe everybody's like passion for what we created, because it was kind of like us, like everyone who created it. I remember speaking to Anna, one of our DJs, who is just on fire.
Queen.
She is just honestly one of the best DJs that I know. And I remember speaking to her, and she said, I remember like a wine for not long ago, she said to me, Crimson, I hope this doesn't sound weird, but like, I feel like Disgrace is kind of mine. And I was like, that is
awesome.
Like, that is exactly what I want. I want you to feel a part of it. I never want to be one of those management companies where it's like, we know everything. We are like the best, and we're not going to take anyone's opinion.
We don't know
just
everything.
Us. We don't know anything.
We know a small amount, I would say, even.
Oh,
we're still learning.
We are learning all the time, and we always make mistakes, and we always fuck it up. and I think people are too scared to do that.
I think making mistakes makes you human, though, doesn't it? Even in business, but also in, like, feminism and stuff like that.
Yep.
Everyone's too, especially...
Well, look at the Girly Feminist podcast, right? Like, that's
I love Girly Feminist.
That's literally the perfect example where we want to be, like, these feminist people, but do you know what? We make mistakes, and sometimes you say something about someone, and then you go home, and the next day you think, oh my god, I sounded like an absolute bitch. I can't believe I've just said that. That is not feminist. I should have supported that person. I'm in the wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, I think that self-awareness of what you say is so important, because I don't know, I think people are too scared to say anything sometimes.
Yeah.
But do you know what? If you say something and you say it wrong, it's fine. It doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
Maybe you fucked it up. Maybe you screwed up a dude at work. Maybe you said something bad about your friend. That doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you can't fix it. Sometimes you can't fix it and you just fucked up.
And you fucked up and that's fine. And you've got to learn from that.
Yeah. It's just the learning of when you make mistakes. And not enough people are happy to put themselves out there to make the mistakes.
Yeah.
If you put yourself out there to make the mistakes, you're going to make them.
I think with that as well, a lot of people aren't honest about their mistakes. Like, I'll admit fully, sometimes I think things in my head and I'm like, I really don't want to think that, but I do kind of feel it, but I know it's wrong. Like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, why is she doing so well and I'm not? Like, it's so unfair. Yeah. But then I'm like, I wouldn't want that person to think that about me.
Yeah. Like, you can't help it because you're human. And I think there's that whole thing where...
Yeah, we are human.
We all think that everybody's business is doing better. We think everybody else's relationship is doing better. Their friendships are doing better. And, oh my God, they must have loads of money and they must be really successful and their families love them. But guess what? We are all struggling in our own way. Like, I think there's that thing. It's the whole social media generation. We all think everyone else is doing
better.
I mean, we've all read about a million articles about how it damages our health. And let's be honest, it's bloody true.
It's so true.
And putting yourself out there is scary. If you put yourself out there, you're going to make mistakes. When you make those mistakes, you have two options. Try and fix it. If you can't fix it, learn from it.
Yeah.
And that's literally all that you can do. I mean, we've done things before, and afterwards, it takes us months to go, oh, fuck it, we really shouldn't have done that.
That absolutely bombed.
We really bombed that idea, or we really said the wrong thing to that person, and we really regret it. And that doesn't make us bad.
No.
It just makes us human.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of companies will go, I am the best. I know everything. I'm going to tell you all how to do your job, and this is how you do it, and I'm not going to listen to any of your opinions. And I think it's those companies that get it wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's those companies that refuse to believe they make any mistakes. And that's why I think that we've done so well in what we do, is because we're the first people to go, oh, do you know what, girls? Sort of fucked up there. Hands
Absolutely.
Up. I really didn't need to do that. I'm sorry if I was a bit of an arsehole. I think I was a bit of an arsehole too. Are we cool? Done.
I think it makes it so much... It's just nice for everyone because... You'll learn a lesson, they'll learn a lesson, and even people around, like, obviously these things affect everyone, so everyone around, they'll learn a lesson. Like, anything that happens in our girl gang, it kind of like ripples through our girl gang.
It ripples, like, develops. Everyone's aware of it. Mm-hmm. If I said the wrong thing to one person, everyone's going to find out, and everyone's going, oh, Crimson, and I'll be like, yep, I know, I shouldn't have said it.
Best to hold your hands up there.
Hold my hands up, I was in the wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's that other side to it, where other people, when they're wrong to you, stick up for yourself, because I don't think enough people do that as well.
Yeah.
People are scared to stand their ground, and I'm definitely, I mean, you know me very well. I am not one person to, I think because when I first started in this industry, I was literally 18. Like, I've done everything from the door to scrubbing toilets, to the bars, to managing venues, to doing everything. I've done it all. And I think it's very, because I started so young, you'd have all these people tell me off. And I learned very quickly to be like, actually, I might only be 23, but you gave me this job. Or I might only be 24, but you gave me this job. So you think I'm capable of it.
Yeah.
So listen to my opinion. This is what I think about this.
Good.
You know, this is what I do. And I don't mean, like, you don't have to be angry about it. But sometimes standing your ground when you know you've been wronged or you know a situation is wrong is so important.
So important.
So important.
And the way you deliver yourself too. We were having a conversation earlier, weren't we, about the difference between 18-year-old us and how old we are now. And you kind of want to get heated about it. You want to get passionate about it because you think that shows that you really care about something. But sometimes
it shows
it's about
strength.
Yeah, but coming back and thinking about it and then delivering it in a professional way.
So I mean, 18-year-old me, I would bitch about everybody. And do you know what? Even if I look at myself like 2-3 years ago, I would get angry about things. I would say shit about people that I liked. And I, looking back on it, I feel embarrassed. I'm like, I can't believe I behaved in that way. I can't believe I said that thing.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I've done that. Everyone's done that, I think.
So if you look at yourself when you're 18 to now, you do just start, like, kind of learn, like, okay, yeah, I am still a young woman. I'm like, I'm 27 now. And I'm like, I am still a very young woman in this industry. I've got my own business. Most of the people that do our jobs are about 10 years older than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really, really hard to go, hold on, I know what I'm talking about, because people don't take you seriously. And especially the fact that we have a load of girls that do work in glamour modelling and things like that, people don't take us seriously. There's those times you go, hold on, I'm in the right, I have an opinion, listen to me, because I have to say something here.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people don't like that.
They don't like it.
They don't like it.
Do you remember?
You shouldn't do it.
Have you got any, like, memories that really stand out for you when someone has told you something wrong and you've been like, no, 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 I really think...
Oh, about 500.
Yeah?
I've got so many where I've been in so many situations. I'll try and think of one that's, like, specific. Yeah, no, I know what. I was in one... And someone was working for me.
Uh-huh.
I was really young at this point. Like, I was in very early 20s.
Yeah.
And someone did wrong, like they were in the wrong, they were working underneath me, but then my management called me up on it, and I behaved in a way that probably I shouldn't have. Mm. Like, I did not do the best thing in that situation. Again, hold my hands up, I did not do the right thing. But I remember sitting there across from my management and they were like, listen, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know, but something needed to be done. I'm not saying what I did was the right thing, but something needed to be done. And so I think I've had quite a lot of experience. I think that's probably why I've grown up a lot quicker in this industry than a lot of other people. It's because I've had a lot of experiences where I've been told to behave a certain way or to do a certain thing, and I've gone, nope, I don't agree with that. That's not going to sit in my morals. That's not going to help me sleep at night. I don't agree with this. This is going to stress me out when I get home. I know the way things should be done. I know the way things should be said.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's hard to think of specific examples without sort of saying any examples.
I always put people on the spot like this. This is what I love about my podcast. I always try and keep it like a natural conversation, but there, when you think about stuff like that, there are so many examples, aren't there?
There's so many. I can think of like 10 examples right now, but I'm like, probably shouldn't say it.
It's all in the past, we've got to move on past it, but it's okay to not. It's okay to get hung up on stuff. Like, I get hung up on stuff still. I find myself lying in bed at night being like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that to that person, and I wish sometimes I could go back and like apologise to them. And
yeah,
I think maybe that's a good idea sometimes, even if you like,
I think it's fine to reflect on it, but then there's the other side of it where like you shouldn't dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, do you know what? It's done now.
Mm.
Yes, you might have been in the wrong, and yes, you might feel really upset about what you've done. But if that person doesn't, if you've wronged a person and that person no longer wants to speak with you, cool.
Yeah, you like, kind of have to own that.
You can't do anything. You have to go, yeah, I fucked up with that person. I'm not going to lie in bed and think about it every night.
Yeah.
We all do it. We all want to pretend that we're like strong, independent women that have like no fear. But we all do. We all go, oh my God, you know, I've really screwed up here. But sometimes there's nothing you can do. And all you can do is learn. Again, like just learn from situations, whether it's work, whether it's personal, like whatever it is, learning from situations is just the ultimate advice that I could give anybody wanting to get into this industry.
Yeah,
like,
completely.
Learn everything, and you are going to make a million mistakes.
And that's okay.
Cool. I've made more than most people, and I'm doing all right.
But you know what? The fact that you're talking about it, and I think something that's really important that really helps us progress so far is because we have our girl gang to talk about it with. Like, if I didn't have someone to share my mistakes with, you keep them inside, you kind of beat yourself up about them, like you said, dwelling on them.
Yeah.
But you've got to have someone to share them with. I think, going back to literally the girl gang, like, people need girl gangs.
I honestly think if we didn't have this girl gang, I don't know what I'd do with my life. Is although it's working, people say, oh, you shouldn't employ people that are your friends and stuff. We've sort of created this like community of women that I just can be proud of. Every single person is in our group. I just think it's killing it, and I think it's so important because sometimes one of those people will struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had phone calls that have lasted like 3 hours with someone who's gone, something's going on in my life, and I'm like, cool, call me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. Call me. I'm
so
here.
So important.
But then I know that I can do the same back and forth. Hey, babe, I really just need a bit of advice, or I just need someone to vent out or rant out or whatever it is. And I think what makes me really sad is, although I see some like girl gangs like coming through and like really good girl communities, unfortunately there are still these girl gangs where they put each other down, and there's that whole thing.
Sad.
I think when you're like 18, and I'm sure we did the same when we were that age, so there's no judgment. I think it's that thing where you think, oh, like, it makes me feel sad that there isn't more support.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people should be taught about it in school, like, female friendships 100%. And stuff. Obviously, like, there's TV shows like Broad City and stuff now.
Love Broad City.
You know that's my show. That's your show, girl. And it does it, like, girls in the media and girl guys in the media, but it's become, like, a recent thing, isn't it? So girls don't really know.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of girls, and they say, oh, I don't really have any girlfriends, I don't really know how to talk to girls, I don't know how to, but it's just because we just haven't been shown, like, do you have any advice for if someone's thinking that, if someone's sat here right now listening being like, I really want to make girlfriends but I don't know how?
I think it's hard. So first bit of advice would be like, don't beat yourself up. If you have not got a close circle of friends or a close circle at work or just a close circle in your family, whatever it is, if you don't have that, it's hard. Don't beat yourself up about the fact that you don't have it. Don't be like, I'm worthless, no one likes me. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. It just means that you've not found your people yet. And like, we, you know, I met you when I was like 24.
Yeah.
And I found you at 24. So if you're 18 and you're feeling like, oh, I can't relate to anyone, don't worry about it. You might not relate to anyone for a couple of years. And that's absolutely fine, because that's the way of the world. Learn from the experiences you have, learn the sort of people that you like around you, and you will start attracting those people.
Yeah. I think exude what you want to attract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's those little things where if you see someone, me and you do this all the time. Like, we do this all the time.
That's what I love. Yeah, we always
but we also do that thing where if we see someone and we're like, that girl's back. I remember not long ago, because we sometimes when you know, we'll go flyer in Silk Road at night. I think people don't realise that. I think people think me and you just sit on laptops and we're like, no, we do the graph
no,
at the bottom and top.
We have to do it all.
We went flyer not even a couple of months ago. And, no, we ain't rich. And we were stood outside like flyering, and this girl came over and I was like, dude, that bag, like that bag. So I went up to him and I was like, babe, I just want to say your bag, like, is amazing.
The cutest bag. I've
never seen
one
before.
One.
Where's it from? I know where it's from now.
Where's it from?
Dolls Kill. Go get it. But I was like, your bag is killer. Like, and she turned around to me and she looked so surprised that I would even approach her just to say, like, not, oh, take a flyer or, you know, let's start talking to you. Because I was like, dude, like, your bag is cool.
I love complimenting girls on the street.
And I wish that more girls had that. You know when you're in the toilet?
Yeah.
At a club,
and you're wasted.
Oh,
and
my God.
All your inhibitions go and you feel like you can talk to anyone.
That is the time to be like, hey, babe, I absolutely
your brows
love your
on point
eyebrows. I think your hair is sick. I saw you dancing and you look like you're having so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a drink. Is it cool if me and my friends come and dance with you? And it doesn't need to be, like, creepy or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just put yourself out there. Even just say, let me get find
women
your Instagram.
Don't do that.
Let me find your Instagram and like, let's exchange Instagrams and I'll send you a message tomorrow because I'd love to go for a coffee with you because I just think you're really cool. And that is so terrifying to do. And it's
so,
so
scary. Even I still find it scary. And I talk on, like I said, I talk on stage. I do the scary shit that's supposed to be scary.
It is so scary. But I think that's one really good way of putting yourself out there. And then I think another way of putting yourself out there is no matter what industry you're working in, find the people in that industry that you're attracted to in terms of like their personality. So if you work in an office,
find your kind.
You know, I've worked in offices before. If you work in an office and there's that one person in the corner and you think, oh, they got cool shoes, I feel like they go to the same place as me, be like, hey dude,
let's connect,
let's hang out, do you want to go for a wine after work? And even just things like that can develop into a real friendship. Do you know what, if it's a wine after work, if it fails, cool, you've not lost anything.
Exactly.
If
you've probably had a nice
work,
evening and it's fine.
If it's after work and it doesn't really go into anything, you just say, oh, it's an after work drink with a colleague. And they'll probably feel the same.
And they're not going to bitch about you either. I think a lot of people are scared of what other people think of them, but they're probably just as terrified to go for a wine with you.
Well, this is the thing for me. This is so scary for me to even do this podcast because I'm such a background person that I'm so scared of putting myself out there. But, like, I'm good at it in real life, but I'm not good at it on, like, internet crimson because I've never been in that world. But it's a really hard thing to do, and I think people shouldn't be hard on themselves if they don't have a girl gang. If they're struggling to find a girl gang, doesn't mean you're not going to find one.
You will.
You know, you will find a girl gang.
It's a little harder for girls, isn't it? Because I feel like boys, they can like bro down about just random stuff because that's just the way the world's built. It's a patriarchy.
That's what society is.
Yeah,
you know,
we live in a patriarchy at the moment.
In all of our lives.
Yeah.
And actually, girls have been brought up to compete against each other, which is just bizarre. And all these girls compete against each other, and then they think, no, I want to have the best makeup, or I want to have the best clothes, or I want to have the coolest boyfriend.
No.
If someone,
us together,
you know, I'm the first person. If someone has a dodgy lipstick, I'll be like, babe, just want to tell you, go start your lipstick because it looks so good. I love the colour, but just go fix it.
You've smeared it a little
just
bit on your drink.
Because that girl is going to go,
oh my God, babe, thank
so
you.
Much. Like, thank you. But instead, we're like, oh my God, can't believe that girl's lipstick. No, tell her lipstick's off.
You're
going to appreciate it.
You might make
it.
A friend. That might be your new best friend.
You might make a friend.
You don't know that.
Exactly. I think it's very scary to put yourself out there.
It
but
is,
try.
Isn't it?
Just try. And it's totally fine if you fail.
Totally fine if you fail.
Totally fine.
I love that. And you know what? I think it's really important as well, like you said. At 18, you might not meet those people, but we do live in this fucking glorious generation where the internet is a thing.
Yeah.
And you can listen to podcasts, hopefully like this one, hopefully like The Guilty Feminist, like
the
you mentioned.
Feminist,
What's your, you listen to a lot of podcasts.
Oh, I love a podcast.
What's your favourite feminist podcast?
Well, when you said you were doing a podcast, I was very excited.
Yeah.
I love podcasts. And I remember at London Tattoo Convention last year, we were talking about it, and you were
it
like,
was.
It's going to happen, and I'm like, I'm ready.
I'm so ready.
And you were like, will you be on it? And I was like, no, I won't be on it. And now I'm on it. So I failed that. But I love Anna Faris. You know the girl that was in Scary Movie?
Yeah.
She has one of the funniest podcasts. I love her podcast.
Is it just called Anna Faris?
It's called Anna Faris is Unqualified. So she does things with like an interview with a celebrity Hollywood sort of actor or comedian or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end she'll do like advice. So she'll have someone call up and she'll give unqualified advice. So she'll be like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But this is what I would do. And sometimes it's great and sometimes it's awful, but it's a really like easy listen. Like if you want something that's not too intense,
because
I'm sort of similar to you, sometimes you want something really intense to like learn. Sometimes you just want
to fall asleep to
drink a cup of tea and eat some toast. That's back on right now. And listen to something that's a little bit easier. So Anna Faris is my go-to. So I do The Guilty Feminist. Anna Faris, obviously.
I told you about one the other day. I don't know if I've mentioned it on my podcast yet. I discovered it. It's called This Is Made of Human.
Oh, and yes.
Yeah, I can't remember her name,
I think
unfortunately.
It's Sophie something. Sophie
Sounds
Hagen.
Sounds familiar. Sophie Hagen, yeah, that is her, it. Yeah. She's Dutch, so I found her humour like, fucking hilarious.
Because she was on The Guilty Feminist when they first started.
She
and
was.
And then she went off and did her own one. And yeah. Actually, I think they're both brilliant.
I think they're both really perfect. Strong. I would love to go and see The Guilty Feminist in person. One of their tickets. I mean, that's a dream for this podcast, isn't it? We'll do live. Crimson will be my producer,
well,
my events manager.
Unfortunately, my life just ends up revolving around disgracing you. Like, I don't really have my own life anymore. But that's fine. I can live with that. I'm fine as a background person. But yeah, I think the ultimate goal, I mean, that's why we sort of did a podcast party tester.
Yeah, you I know. Love the podcast party.
God, we had a
everyone that came, I fucking loved.
Yeah,
I want to hug
brilliant.
Them all.
There were so many lovely people that turned up, and it was a really good vibe the whole night. But I think things about like listening to podcast live, I think it's really cool. I think it's really exciting. So obviously we're going to probably end up doing that.
Crimson, you're so good at organising events. You should just do tours for everyone.
Well, Becca. People have said so before. But yeah, I think what I would like to see is more people in the background, women in the background.
But more women in the background. But would you like to see people not push them forwards into a position they don't want to be in? But also, as I'm doing now, be like, it's cool to be a woman in the background. You're just as important. Because I feel like you can feel a bit overshadowed sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's me just saying that.
No, it's weird because obviously you see it from a completely different side to me. And I remember when we first started our friendship, you said to me, Clinton, I don't understand why you want to be. A
person
I kind of get it now, but yeah. And I explained to you like this, I was like, right, imagine we're doing a show and you're on the front and you're hosting and you're performing and you want these people to come backstage. Now you've got to ask me if they come backstage. So everybody that you think, everyone that comes backstage and says, oh, Rebecca Crowe said I'd come back here.
It's still going to go through both
about,
of us,
I don't give a shit about who you would say.
Yeah.
But nobody knows who I am. So if people are ever backstage...
People
that I don't
connect,
know
yeah.
and I know that you don't know them, I know they shouldn't be there, and that's the real power. And people think that the power is being on front of the stage. No, it's not. It's me and you behind the stage. That's where the real power,
that's where the shit happens. Yeah,
that's where real shit happens.
The show happens, so much happens behind the scenes. Good god,
oh my god, like, you have no idea what happens behind the scenes. It gets crazy. But I would like to see, I mean, I've had a lot of messages through, particularly in the last year, of people saying, oh, I want to do a background thing.
That's awesome.
But a lot of them as well, which I'm really sad to see, is a lot of people who want to be at the front and they think that they can get to the front of the stage by coming through the back of the stage. And I'm not saying that that's not
a viable
route.
It's a different path. It's a different career path.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, that won't work for some people, because it absolutely will.
Yeah.
You can probably work behind somewhere and work your way up to be at the front.
Yeah.
That's cool. We've had girls that have done that with us.
Absolutely.
No problem with that.
And I've done it backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that there should be more women that want to just come into the background and say, hey, I want to help produce
this.
I want to
awesome.
Help organise this. I want to help on your door and your tickets and your like a lot of the time. I remember about the first year of me working together with you, you were like, I don't really understand what you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, babe, I'm not gonna.
I don't think we still quite understand what you're
doing. No, I know that you get on with your stuff and I get on with my stuff and it just equals together.
It happens.
But I wish more girls would want to get involved in the background.
Because that's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole different world and a whole different skill set that you can like learn
and it doesn't make you any less at all.
It's just as equal.
The night wouldn't happen without. If one of us died, it would be like, obviously we would be devastated.
I mean, like, next chance. I mean, this podcast just went really dark really quickly. I'm having a little wine.
If one of us died, okay, and back to
if
wine.
One of us was gravely ill.
Yeah, if one of us couldn't do it. I mean, I felt awful because last Friday, obviously, I've injured my foot.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other things that have gone on.
The last six weeks have been interesting.
The last 6 weeks has nearly killed me off, let's be honest, anyway. But I injured my foot, so I couldn't obviously go to Disgrace.
Yeah.
And I was just there on my phone, and my boyfriend was here at the time. Dan.
Shout out to Dan.
Another background person.
Absolutely,
makes all the flyers happen. He makes all the flyers, makes all the artwork.
And we were sat here, and he was like, right, Clinton, you're going to put your phone down, and you're going to let them go on with the night about you. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I just can't. So I'm there texting like Born Suicide on the door. I'm like, how's it going? Like, send me the photos of the ticket sales. I was like calling you like, is everything okay? I was talking to Party Blinders, our guests. I was like, are you guys okay? And I was like, I'm not even there. There's literally nothing I can do, but I still want to be, and I felt awful because you were there without me.
No.
And sometimes that's okay. Like, I've had to do ones without you. You've had to do ones without me because of circumstance.
It's more the leading up to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
the planning.
We always see it from different sides.
Completely. And I think it's good. We debate in such a great way that we both debate not because we want to beat the other person, but because we want to come to the best possible compromise.
Do you know what? That's such a good way of looking at it. Like, you have your point, I have my point.
Yeah.
And if we don't agree, we both think, okay, well, why does Rebecca think that? Because in my head, I'm so sure that this is the way.
Yeah.
Rebecca is so convinced it's the other way.
So, and I respect your opinion, so I'm like, she must have something.
She's saying this for a reason. She's not saying this to be difficult. To be a dick. She's not saying this to be a dick. She's saying it because she really thinks that. So the best thing I can do is try and learn from her situation, and then you learn from my situation, and we always come from a compromise. Sometimes one of us will give because we'll realise we're in the wrong, and like, I've done that with you, you've done that with me, and I'll go, do you know what, on this this occasion, I'm going to back down, because Becca's experience means she'll have the better opinion on this.
And you know that, and I, the same thing, I know that as well when I do that, like, it's not for any, no, it's not for no reason.
But that's the thing, it's all
it's
about...
It's important with your friends too as well, like, when so you're giving your friends advice and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I am the general advice giver.
You're like mama.
Mama, well, everyone calls me mum, so that's a nice start. I'm only 27, but I'm feeling quite old. but no, I mean, I give a lot of advice to a lot of people all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
But I think you see it from the other side as well.
Yeah, I think that's just from experience of, like, mainly it's because I've fucked up so much. Where I'm like, guys, don't do that. Like, someone say, this is my situation. I'm like, I'll tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
I might not be able to always advise on the best thing, but I'm like, please don't do that. Because I've done it and it's not going to work out well for you, babe. But that's because of my mum, though. Like, that's all my mum. My mum is, like, the best advice giver in the world. And she's given it to me. She's given it to my sister.
So your mum's a big feminist.
My mum is, like, the ultimate feminist. She is just a powerhouse of a woman. Like,
I love her.
And I think that's really put it down to me. And even in the last couple of years, I think I've learnt more from her in the last 2 years than I ever have. Because as a woman talking to a woman in, like, a grown-up sense, I've learnt so much from her.
She's very wise. Everything so you've wise. Passed on to me from her.
So
fantastic.
Wise. And it's all... I just think it's about learning. In industry, in life, whether you want to be a background person, a front-ground person, whether you want to get friends... Learn, experience, and just don't be hard on yourself, because I think both me and you have done that. We've Amen. Been so hard on ourselves. We've been sat here crying before.
Oh,
we're like, oh, we fucked up.
And it's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry.
And it's fine to cry.
Prison, on the path of learning and everything.
Yeah.
I have one question written down that I wanted to ask you that I just haven't asked you in the course of our conversation.
Oh, God.
What does feminism mean to you?
That is a very wide question.
I mean, we can go
into a whole nother podcast like this. I think feminism to me, it means inclusion, it means representation, and ultimately it means the equality of all genders.
Yeah.
And no matter how you identify, no matter your background, no matter your race, your religion, it's the equality of all genders through all aspects of life.
What job you do. And everything.
Yeah, it's the equality at work, it's the equality at home, it's the equality in your community. That's what feminism is to me.
That's beautiful.
Is that nice? Did I do well?
I love that.
Okay, good.
Prison, thank you so fucking much.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh my God, because I'm terrified.
Prison, obviously at the end of a web podcast, I ask for plugs. So where can we find you online, and where can we find Disgrace for everyone that I haven't plugged it eternally enough?
Obviously Disgrace. Instagram is...
at @sgdis_grace.
Thank you, because I've got that one. we're also doing it. We're doing a competition for Slam Dunk at the minute as well.
We are. We're DJing at Slam Dunk. We've already done our Downland Festival competition, but we're doing a competition on our Instagram to win 2 tickets to Slam Dunk South, where we're having Gemma Edwards and Flick Renee do DJ sets.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Slam Dunk is one of my favourite festivals.
I love Slam Dunk.
I'm really
excited.
I can't wait. I mean, everyone's going. Like, everyone's going.
All the cool kids are going to be there.
So, yeah, we've got a competition up right now on Disgrace. So, I think it's about, like, naming a cat or something. Find it on the Disgrace thing. It's great. It's a really good one.
And then if we want to find you on Instagram, Clinton?
There's nothing interesting. Actually, that's a lie. Sometimes I have the most interesting stuff of everybody.
You really do. She sees everything from a different perspective.
Everything.
It's really interesting to watch. I watch her story, like, did I really let that?
Yeah, I'll find all the interesting back stuff. So, if you want to find me at Crimson Russ on Instagram. That's Crimson, like the colour, but it is my real name. And
yeah, your name. Everyone thinks your name is a suicide girl name, but you're not.
That's it, because when I started Suicide Girls, everyone's like, oh, Crimson, you're a suicide girl. And I was like, no, I'm not. My mum called me this. I'm sorry.
She's got a crazy name.
I'm sorry, my mum's so cool.
But honestly, naming your kids a cool name helps you out, right?
Do you know how many jobs I've gone to and they've been like, oh, we saw your your CV on the pile because of your name? And I'm like, thank you, mum.
Thank you, mum.
Really appreciate that.
Another thing your mum's grateful.
Exactly.
I love her.
Yeah, Crimson Russ. I mean, you can follow me. Sometimes, I'm not the most interesting person to follow. But
she's a babe. Don't listen to her. She's fits out.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes I don't post anything. But, if you want to know anything about the backside, I said it. If you want to know anything about the backside of working in the industry, then I'm the person to follow.
If you scroll down her Instagram, Instagram, there is a brilliant photo of her backside in some PVC pants, actually.
Oh, here we go. Bee Ducks in the background. Trying to
pimp out Crimson.
Yeah, Bee Ducks Photography. Took a very nice picture of me when we were on tour with a band of me in some leather pants. But
she looks great. You know, I mean,
if you like leather pants, I'm the gal for you.
Crimson, thank you so fucking much for coming on my podcast as my best friend, my business partner, and literally the other side of my fucking life. Cheers.
Cheers, babe. We did it.
Beautiful humans, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'll see you very soon. Hopefully we'll see you at Disgrace at Download. If not, maybe Slam Dunk Festival. If not, I'll see you soon. Mwah.
Mwah.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.